Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Anthony Herron, Score football analyst.
I've talked to you about Kyle Fuller in a number of ways. He's better at and specializes in that off-man coverage, but he drives on the route and he anticipates the route. He has a sixth sense for where the receiver's going to end up.
Former NFL defensive lineman and Iowa Hawkeye.
Khalil Mack, he's fast, he's ferocious. When Mack is coming from the backside, then he's a guy who can make a game-changing, game-altering sort of tackle, where if an Anthony Herron is chasing from the backside, all right, you may get tripped up on your ankles, but you're not necessarily as worried about some sort of a strip or takeaway happening.
Co-host of the Score post-game show with Olin Krutz.
I think Matt Nagy knows he needs to win some damn games.
Big Ant Herron with Dan Bernstein on 670 The Score.
Let's talk Bears and NFL with Anthony Herron. He is on Twitter at Big Ant Herron. He is on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. And you can always check in and get a look on Twitch at twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Right now, you can even get a look at the Mexicutioner himself, who is back at our studios now that Shane Reardon's got everything all wired back up there. We can keep an eye on these guys back there. Really, yeah, I mean, sure, gesture all you want, but I'm watching you. I'm keeping an eye on you to make sure there's no chicanery or shenanigans going on back there. Anthony, how's it going, man?
Not too bad, Daniel. Just staying as busy as one needs to be during a Bears bye week and a little time where I'm off the road from the Big Ten this weekend as well. So trying to be productive.
Well, you never have a problem staying busy. I think it's the opposite for you. I mean, what would I'm here celebrating the fact that we don't have a Bears game to impede our weekend. But you obviously, I mean, you seem to be talking into a microphone somewhere about something, a Big Ten network, you know, and wherever it is.
Yeah, there's usually plenty of that happening, man, no doubt about it. But, I mean, it's football season. I'm a football guy, and so you do anticipate a certain amount of busyness that's going to be there. And then, you know, for me, with Big Ten Radio, it's college basketball season starting up. That's just going to add to things. So, you know, it's certainly better to be busy than the opposite.
So if you're in charge of the Bears right now and you have all this time and you want to emerge from the bye, at least knowing more about yourself, being as honest as you can about what you can do, what you can't do, and what might still be done to salvage something this season, where do you start, and then how do you implement it?
Well, I think it feels like there's a number of reasons where this bye week can be productive for the Bears, and if nothing else, and you know, hear a lot of talk about both edges of it, whether or not the bye week came at a good time or does it come at a bad time because we've got momentum or whatever. I do think losing that game versus Minnesota in the way it went down, where, you know, just that everything, the constant buildup of all the discussions were, you know, just continuing to crescendo around the Bears offense, and it even obviously got to the point where Matt Nagy gives up the play-calling duties to Bill Lazor, and the discussion around Nick Foles and what they're going to do with the offensive line and the machinations and personnel there. And you go out in that game and the defense, and you know, Bears defense is always this Bears defense. They're always at least good, if not great. And they were great in that ball game. Like, they played so well, so hard. And there are levels to it. Like, I certainly haven't been slow to criticize certain aspects of the Bears defense, because they've earned that privilege. They've earned that right where their expectations are high. So even though the Bears offense is obviously the main issue, when the Bears defense has had problems, they're more than willing to point that out. But you saw that there was an extra heartbeat to the way they were playing that game, because they took on the challenge of Dalvin Cook, just like they had taken on the challenge of Derrick Henry. And you know, you had Danny Trevathan back in recent weeks playing like the Danny Trevathan we expected. Roquan Smith played at a Pro Bowl, if not all pro level. And all those things went into that. And the defense just playing with this vigor on the field, and the special teams stepping forward in the way that they did, and all those other elements for things they attempted to adjust with the offense to see what they can get from that, and for it to come up short again, and for it to so obviously and overwhelmingly be the offense, and just watching them moving those parts around. I really do think the ability, 10 games into the season, for the players, for the coaches, to at this point, with everything that's been attempted and with the defense and pretty much every aspect of the special teams dominating Minnesota, and somehow you still get so little from the offense that it ends up in a loss against a team that the majority of that locker room is not only going to feel like they're better than, they're going to say we've vastly outplayed our opponent, and to still come out of that game with a loss, I think it's likely a good thing that they didn't have to play this weekend, that they have now been able to have the opportunity to step back, to reevaluate, and then to likely, you know, come back and attack next week in a manner where they feel like they can, you know, perhaps exhale in some way that gives them an opportunity to kind of get back into attack mode. But I think to be able to reassess, to be able to, you know, perhaps alleviate a little bit of the frustration that could be building, could be mounting there, was probably a good thing for this week.
We always hear the word simplify when it comes to offensive struggles, because you see so many things that just appear uncoordinated at the moment. Is it just a buzzword? What does it mean if they say we're going to simplify the offense? Does that mean there's three or four run plays we can block and we're going to do them in this direction or that direction? Off of those, there's a few passing permutations that we're going to have. It sounds so easy to say simple would mean better. And I don't know if it does.
Well, there's a couple of different versions of what that could be. The simple condensing of the playbook is the most obvious way to look at it, where you're going to be running a lower volume of your package. And I think that because we've seen the Bears and the limited success and all the inconsistency that's been there with the offense throughout the entire season, we have seen them attempt a bunch of different things. We've seen them try a number of personnel groupings. We've obviously seen them try multiple quarterbacks, receiver combinations, and tempos, and you know, with a shotgun under center, you name it. We've seen them try a bunch of stuff. What we haven't necessarily seen is, even in the midst of struggles, them sort of stubbornly, Matt Nagy and now Bill Lazor sort of stubbornly stick with something and just see if you can almost bang your head against the wall until it works. And that's what, to me, it perhaps indicates, because I think that for an offensive line that was already struggling and then had the very deep personnel losses that this O-line has had, I was referencing this on Bears All Access last night, and I heard Dave Wannstedt even referencing this to Danny a little bit yesterday. I've been using the Tennessee Titans as sort of a, to me, what I think would be an example of where the Bears could be because of their defense, because of their special teams, and just the type of holistic approach they could take to condensing the offensive game plan. And the Titans have a legitimately good offensive line, and they still constantly move the pocket. They still commit to the run game. They still max protect consistently on third down, things that just allow you to cover up for even just potential frailties in your own line. And even if you don't feel like there's frailties there, it just takes pressure off of them. It just puts them in a stronger position. I think there's some elements of that we've seen the Bears attempt at certain points. Like, for whatever reason, they've actually moved the pocket more, like had more called pocket movement with Nick Foles at quarterback than they were earlier in the season with Mitch, for whatever reason. I do think we've seen stretches where they attempted to balance the play calling, run the pass more earlier in the season than here recently, as the offensive line has been ravaged by injuries. But I think condensing the playbook is one end of it. But as much as anything, just taking a more focused approach to how do we make up for the lapses that we should at this point expect to be there from this offensive line in game, and just give them an opportunity to exhale, give this quarterback an opportunity to sort of confidently breathe in the pocket. And even if it's just a two-man route, as we see the Titans do frequently enough, then you know what? There can be opportunities to still win there for an Allen Robinson, for a Darnell Mooney, to still make plays even with that.
I don't know what's going to make this quarterback comfortable in the pocket, because even when he has a pocket, he seems like he's acting like he doesn't. And that is if indeed they stick with Nick Foles. You know, one thing that I want to see more of, and maybe you know better than I do, because there has to be a reason why somebody with the obvious quickness of Artavis Pierce did not get more of an opportunity to show it. The one time we saw him make a cut, everybody watching, he was misidentified as Lamar Miller, but everybody watching was like, ooh, look at that.
Yeah.
That was quickness from a running back there. There's got to be a reason. And usually a coach will sit down and say, yeah, but he doesn't know the plays, or we can't trust him to protect. He doesn't know what routes to get into. I know there's got to be a reason, but screw it. I want to see more of a really quick guy.
I've been singing the praises of Artavis Pierce since they first signed him as an undrafted free agent. And, you know, the first time anyone has gotten to see him touch the ball in the NFL, because there was no preseason, so he had never touched the ball
right
in the NFL before. But he moves differently than the other Bears running backs. I think it is a completely accurate observation there. You know, but like anyone, are there things to improve upon? Yes. I mean, do you want to see a guy running out of bounds? No, but it's not something he did consistently. And frankly, from what I saw of him in college, he's not a guy shy of contact at all. So I'm fairly confident that running out of bounds won't be some rampant issue for Artavis Pierce, and he just does look different with the ball in his hands. He's more physical than Tariq Cohen. He's got more slash to him in condensed spaces than Cordarrelle Patterson. He's certainly more shifty and able to get skinny in holes in a different way than David Montgomery does. I'm not saying the guy should be the Bears starting running back and get 20 touches, but there's traits there that should be exciting, that look unique versus other Bears running backs. And so I would completely support him getting more opportunities until you get healthier and more productive at that position, because frankly, he's just played it. Now, in calling a bunch of his games in college on the Pac-12 network, he was not even a guy that throughout his career was consistently a 20 to 25 touch a game guy. Part of that was via injury, and then some other player, whether it was a Ryan Nall after he would get banged up, took carries away from Artavis Pierce early in his career. Then later on is a guy named Jamar Jefferson, who's still at Oregon State right now. But when he's been healthy, he was a very productive, very talented runner. And I think for the situation the Bears are in at the moment, it would make all the sense in the world for them to at least continue to examine what Artavis Pierce can do with the ball in game, because from the few touches he got, I think your observation is right on point, man. He just moves differently. He just looks different as a running back than anyone else the Bears have right now.
How serious a situation could Allen Robinson's dissatisfaction be? And I'm not saying he's going to throw a tantrum, because he's too professional for that. But when his agent is taking to Twitter to say the things that he's saying, when we see him open on plays where Nick Foles doesn't see him, and then we get the close-up of the sideline reaction of him slamming his helmet down and yelling at nobody in particular, it shouldn't be that way for a guy who's doing what he's doing. That guy should be fed the ball. He's arguably your most talented offensive player, and they just don't have him involved enough. I know he's going to draw plenty of attention, and they're going to try to take him away, but he's a good enough route runner that he deserves opportunities to get those touches.
Well, one thing that concerned me, and what is obviously at this point a very limited sample size of Bill Lazor as the play caller for the Chicago Bears through one game, is I felt like, and I've addressed it with you before, where Matt Nagy doesn't effectively walk that balance of whether or not he's focused on calling plays or if he's focused on featuring players. And, you know, it's fairly obvious who some of the Bears' best playmakers are, and it's been the case, obviously, with Allen Robinson for quite some time. Jimmy Graham, where, you know, between the 20s, maybe you don't need to be throwing him swing passes, but when you get in the red zone, there's no good reason for Jimmy Graham not to be on the field, even as a schematic decoy And you add in Darnell Mooney to that mix, and I certainly love the way they continue to enhance his role in the offense. Then you get to the game the other night, and he gets two targets. And you come off of that Khalil Mack interception and run back, and you've got the ball in plus territory, and yep. Okay, here's your 21-yard strike to Anthony Miller, who's been showing some life the last couple of weeks.
And then they hand it to Ryan Nall for no apparent reason.
Not only do they turn around and hand it to him on first down, then they throw it to him on second down, and now you're at third and forever, and you got to give the ball back to the opponent. I mean, I like Ryan Nall. I do. I gave him a cute nickname when I was calling his games in college. He was a wrecking Nall. But you don't give him the ball in that scenario. It didn't make sense. You need to focus on your playmakers. How do you involve your players as opposed to just focusing on what are the plays that we think we like in this scenario? The NFL is about your talent. It's about your matchups. It's about who can you feature that can take advantage of the guy across from them. And it's pretty clear that there are very specific individuals in certain areas of the field where that's the case. And I don't think the Bears have done an effective enough job. Which is, you know, not saying a whole lot, but they haven't been effective enough at featuring the players in where they're at their strongest.
Bears have a big decision to make when it comes to who's going to quarterback them going forward, and obviously the recent injuries are going to be part of that process, but we'll talk about what's going to go into that. More with Anthony Herron is coming up, so don't go anywhere. I'm Dan Bernstein. You have the score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, that's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Foles with a hard count. Accepts the snap. Pocket starts to close, and Foles has nowhere to go. He can't escape. Finally gets rid of the football at the last second. It's bouncing around. They finally call it incomplete, and Foles is on his back. He's not getting up at the moment. This time he's hurt. Charles Leno Jr. asking for medical attention, and that's what will happen with 34 seconds to go. Low snap to Foles. Pocket started to close. He couldn't escape. They got a hold of him and didn't let him go and put him down on his shoulder. Wow.
I think Nagy really wanted to play Foles all along. I think Pace kind of made him start MVP Mitch to begin the season, and once he had enough of him in the Atlanta game, he made the move. Now, I don't know if he has any options. If Mitch is healthy, I think the next six games they should play Mitch because they need movement at the position, assuming now Mitch will run, because there's times where Mitch doesn't run.
Sounds like common sense from Michael Lombardi, the Radio.com NFL insider who was on with Mully and Haw this morning. Anthony Herron is joining me, and that's the real decision now that faces Matt Nagy and Bill Lazor, offensive coordinator, play caller, and the Chicago Bears, is how to give themselves the best possible fighting chance. It appears that Foles is better than he looked like when he was carted off, and they believe that whatever the injury is wasn't as bad as they were expecting. So we'll see. Is it really that simple when all of us, Anthony, seem to independently have kind of arrived at this? We're just ready to see somebody who can at least keep a play alive a little bit longer.
When they went to Nick Foles, it made perfect sense. It did. So it doesn't eradicate the thought process that went into moving on from Mitch and putting Nick Foles in the lineup. It doesn't necessarily mean the decision didn't make sense at the time. It means now you need to continue to evaluate new information. There's been so many different storylines this year and op-eds about how, you know, initially this year somebody said this and then now they're saying that. What can we believe? Believe the new information that's in front of you. You continue to evaluate this week by week, month by month. You've seen a lot of Mitch Trubisky. There's no reason to think from what we've seen of Mitch in his time as a Bears quarterback that he will be stellar when you put him back in the lineup. But we've seen plenty of Nick Foles at this point, too. We had seen the Nick Foles career coming into Chicago when they made the switch. I said, this makes sense. But if Nick Foles plays 13 weeks of good football, it's going to be the first time he's done that since like 2012 or whatever it was in his 27-2 season. So that would be a big expectation because we haven't seen him do it in quite some time. Not shocked. Nick Foles hasn't played well. But in addition to Foles not playing well, all the other things that crumble around Foles that exacerbate some of his frailties, the faulty mechanics, the lack of mobility at this point in his career, the arm strength that, you know, was never special but seems even more limited now than it was earlier in his career. All those things equal a guy who just can't consistently put drives together. What I think has been beneficial and what I hope will turn into something that's a positive if they put Mitch back into the lineup is that Mitch not only has gotten to just sit and watch football, but has tasted his own blood at this point and has seen what not just the mortality of his own football career can be and perhaps, you know, just add some extra zeal to the way he attempts to perhaps throw caution to the wind. But I do think that him watching the way that Nick Foles interacts with Matt Nagy as a peer in the meeting rooms, on the sidelines during game day, in being, you know, authoritative about voicing what he likes or perhaps dislikes from the schemes, from the game plan, what works for him or doesn't. I think all those things should be, if Mitch ingested all those things adequately, should be beneficial to the way he attacks the position on game day and to the way he addresses his relationship with Matt Nagy, which has always, from day one, been like, you know, young Padawan to Jedi Master, when at a certain point you need to, as a veteran in the NFL, get to that crossroads in your career where you say, you know what, you're the coach, the final call is yours, but I have a voice. I've used the word a lot with you the last couple of years here about Mitch, where he needs more agency in how his football cycle plays out. And I don't think he has ever seized that agency. I'm not sure Matt Nagy has ever necessarily even viewed him as an individual with that agency. It's always very consistently been Mitch's student, I'm teacher. I speak of Mitch as this young guy who's kind of learning the ropes. And at a certain point, if Mitch is going to do something in this league, he does need to see some agency. And I hope if they put him back on the field, he feels that agency as a player and as a communicator with his coach and play callers.
Well, and now not to mention that we have the other complication of a different play caller. That we, if in fact they keep Bill Lazor in charge. We don't know that relationship. We only know what we've seen from the in-game Nagy Trubisky relationship. So maybe it's different. And this is me again. This is the way the Bears fan thinks, that if it's different, it might just be good. Maybe this unlocks everything. I'm not saying that, but it does add an extra layer of complexity and concern to it. If maybe reason for blind optimism.
Yeah, and I think that the fact that Matt Nagy, just even in addressing the starting QB position, that he's been willing to at least even voice it as though the door is ajar, is a good thing. And I'm hoping that if they do end up making the move back to Mitch, that there are schematic things that I've been pretty consistent about where I would like them to do more with Mitch, with the called pocket movement, with sprints and boots. And we saw Bill Lazor having some of that. I thought there were some, you know, it's infrequent, but there were some nice moments of well-timed misdirection of using that throwback where you had the mesh point, and then Foles goes across the field and has a very nice throwback pass to the opposite side of the field to Allen Robinson for a chunk gain. I think some of those types of plays, you know, it doesn't have to be every snap, but enough of that within the offense where you're utilizing the mobility of Mr. Trubisky, which the defense will pay attention to in an enhanced manner than they have ever had to with Nick Foles. It gives you the ability to do more of that as opposed to featuring Mitch Trubisky as a pocket passer. There was still too much of that, even where early in the season, through those first three games, where we saw more balance through a three-game stretch. There was more balance to the run-pass ratio than we had ever seen at any time where Mitch was the quarterback. So I like that, and I like some fullback on the field, and I like the multi-tight end sets. To me, I still need more of pocket movement, called pocket movement, sprints, boots, waggles, with Mitch behind the center. And if you get that, then maybe you get closer to some version of the way the Titans passing attack looks. And, you know, I'm not going to predict some sort of a Ryan Tannehill Mitch rebirth here, but it just simplifies things for your O-line and your quarterback when you do that. And that needs to be a part of the mentality of the Bears play callers, you know, where the Bill Lazor has it all to himself, Matt Nagy's still involved in it, whatever, but they got to know between the screen game, the pocket movement, the getting the ball to playmakers, that has to be the focus aside from, well, here's this spot the opponent struggles this week, so let's try to attack that. No, you need to focus on your personnel, what they can execute best, what they can be special at, and then work from there. And then if you're rolling, then yeah, all right, let's open up the playbook a little bit more.
It's funny you mentioned the screen game, because in the last game, every third down you knew the blitz was coming, and they did, yeah. And they were showing different things, and there was nothing they could do about it. When all of us are sitting on the couch going, you know, there's going to be a pressure package of some kind here, at least know who's hot. Know who's hot. Figure it out. Talk about it. Know where you're going with it. And they never did. And it makes me crazy that at some point, a couple times a year, you catch somebody just right. That you've got the right call set up for the defense, and you get a huge chunk play or a field flipping play or maybe a break one. That never happens with these Bears. They never end up with one of these aha situations, despite the fact, and members of aha, despite the fact that they're always trying to solve it, that they always are trying to spin the magic wheel and solve each puzzle. It just seems that they never say they had the right call for just the right time because of some kind of anticipation.
The one game where there were multiple executions of screen or screen-like scenarios was against Tampa Bay, where you had an aggressive blitzing team at Todd Bowles' defense, where there were a couple of times we saw David Montgomery get a chunk screen. We saw Cordero Patterson on
yes.
what wasn't true
yes,
screen passes,
true.
But a couple of swings. Yeah. So yep. That's the one time this season that we've seen it happen. Aside from that, it's almost like the screen isn't a part of the playbook, and when it is, like the other night, there was a tunnel screen that they tried to run to Allen Robinson. It just, for one, when they've tried to hit it against defenses, it's almost like the defense knows it's coming. And even when it looks like there may be an opportunity, you see the tempo, the mental clock of Nick Foles that just doesn't seem patient enough to do any of these things. Like I do, and to, you know, I suppose soft credit to Nick Foles, where I did feel like there were moments in the game Monday night where he did try to stand firm in the pocket. He did climb vertically. He was still very inaccurate. Like, you look at the mechanics of that pass, he sailed back shoulder to Jimmy Graham. That should have been an open touchdown. mechanically, I thought it was one of his better moments. He still threw the ball nowhere near the intended receiver, so that's an issue. But it was at least, I think, an attempt for Nick Foles to do what you want quarterbacks to do in the face of what can be constant pressure, what's very difficult to do. That being said, there was a screen pass later in the game where he didn't invite the defenders in. He just immediately, as the ball hit his hands, he looked out to the side. I'm going to throw it to Allen Robinson, everyone. And so the defense pays no attention to continuing to rush into the backfield. They start running towards A-Rob. No one's anywhere near Nick Foles. He flips it out to A-Rob, and everyone tackles Allen Robinson. They defeat the blocker, then they go get him. You have to, as I've described to you before, be a great actor in the screen game. And Nick Foles, really, the Bears offense in general, doesn't have any theatrical experience, I guess.
I want to debunk something here that I'm seeing. It's popular among texters, tweeters, commenters, etc., saying that this is the time to go back to Mitchell Trubisky because now he's going to be playing for a contract and he knows it and he needs to put stuff on tape for other teams. I will just say there has never at any point from the moment he walked into Hallis Hall, there's never been an issue with how hard he's worked, how hard he's tried, mm-hmm. and how much he's cared. And I think that's completely unfair to him. If you want to say he's been inaccurate, if you want to say he's had a difficult time understanding or diagnosing or reading defenses or mastering coverages, that is absolutely fair. But that is to say, oh, yeah, well, now he's got to try or now he's got to put in the effort or now he's going to double down. That's wrong and unfair to him because this has the work ethic, trying, caring has never been an issue for Mitchell Trubisky.
Completely agreed. And whether it's just the outside observations, whether it's talking to folks at Hallis Hall since they drafted him, that has never, ever been a problem. And it's one of the things that his teammates, that he quickly ingratiated himself to the locker room because of the way he attacks trying to improve at the position. Everyone in the NFL has certain limitations. Mitch's limitations, we've seen them at this point in diagnosing things from inside the pocket, making quick decisions, being consistently accurate. Issue is you put the veteran in there hoping a lot of those things would improve, and they haven't. So where I was talking about this, Jim Miller and I did on post-game live after the Bears game on Monday night, where we addressed whether or not it felt likely the team would go to Mitch. And because of everything we had heard about, essentially just that they had moved on from Mitch and that Nick was the guy. They had never seemed to waver about that up through that point. My take was basically, all right, I think it can make sense to go back to Mitch, but it doesn't feel like they're going to do it because they have moved on from the number two pick in the draft and they're basically going to ride or die with Nick. So I'm pleased that we've seen this door left ajar now this week for Matt Nagy. Doesn't sound like anything is guaranteed. If you got a healthy Foles and a healthy Mitch, who knows? You know, maybe he's just being coy about the whole thing. But I do hope they're giving it legitimate thought. They're processing that in a legitimate way because the offense, which was frustrating early in the season, has gone backwards with Nick Foles as the quarterback. And I think between last season and this season, the Bears have been far beyond the point of just trying to figure out what the development can be or, you know, if Mitch is back on the field, what does that mean for next season? Are we now in a position where we may give him a chance to prove something that we said we counted him out? You can't think about any of that. You got to evaluate which guy can potentially put you in a stronger position to advance the offense, to win a game. And it feels like that is just obviously not Nick Foles right now.
Anthony Herron, thanks as always. Have a great weekend, man.
I appreciate you, Dan. Thanks, buddy.
That is Big Ant Herron, who joins us weekly, who always has strong football thoughts for us. When we come back, I'm going to bring back, if you missed it, some of what Yahoo's Keith Smith said about the Bulls, about who they may be targeting in free agency that opens at 5 o'clock this evening. It's going to be a free agent frenzy starting there, and the Bulls do have the mid-level exception and the biannual exception to use. He also told us what he's hearing from around the league about how people are viewing the way the Bulls are going about their business right now. So you'll want to hear that coming up next on The Score.
Well, it was an exciting night. I enjoyed it, and that's basically it, what I got from every exec that was texting me. It's like, enjoy the night, which is easy to say, right? But yeah. But it was a long first round, but we waited for so long for the draft, and, you know, me and, you know, and our staff, we really enjoyed it, and we got, you know, the players that we liked, and it's very hard to say at the end of the night when you get what you want.
Our tourist Karnišovas on with Mully and Haw talking about his very first draft in charge of an NBA team. And I think people are generally pretty pleased with how that went. It's hard to tell because it's a developmental pick. But tonight, free agency begins at 5 o'clock. That is when, and obviously it's already begun and phone calls are being made and agents are being contacted, but it becomes official that deals can then get done at 5 o'clock our time. Keith Smith of Yahoo Sports joined us earlier. So you're looking at the Bulls, and they want to add some shooting, and they have the $9.3 million mid-level exception. So I asked him for some names.
The guys you're looking at, I think, for Chicago, and if I remember correctly, the new front office is prioritizing adding some shooting, which yep. makes sense. I think that's what they need to add to the roster. So those are the types of players you're kind of taking a look at. A guy like Wayne Ellington would be a great fit for part of that mid-level exception. He's one of the better shooters on the market. Joe Harris is the best shooter out there, but he's probably going to be priced out. I don't think that's going to be enough to get him. So you're kind of looking around at the guys who are, probably one skill guys for that, but guys you can push in. And that should be enough because there's only a couple of teams with significant cap space at this point, the Knicks and the Hawks. That $9 million should be enough to still get you a good quality player, because what you're looking at there is those guys are going to be kind of left standing when the Knicks and Hawks spend their money elsewhere, and they're going to be looking for deals, and that mid-level exception is going to be a very enticing piece at that point.
All right, cool. Wayne Ellington, Joe Harris. I like Joe Harris better than Wayne Ellington, but Wayne Ellington can shoot the basketball a little bit. I then asked him about what is being said around the league about the Bulls now that the front office changes have been made, the coaching staff has been built, the development staff has been built out as well, and now we have a draft in the books.
There's a sense that you talk to other teams and as you talk to agents and even some players that the Bulls are kind of finally moving out of the past. It felt like they were stuck for a period of time with the group, and they had some success with some of the teams under Gar Foreman and John Paxson, but then that kind of slipped away. But then it was they just kind of kept pressing repeat on things is what the feeling was. So now what everybody is kind of looking for is, can they get Wendell Carter, Lauri Markkanen, Kobe White, Zach LaVine, and Otto Porter on the floor together for, half the season at a minimum, so they can really evaluate, all right, how do these guys fit? Because those guys played so little time together last season, you have no idea. What you have in those players. And then Patrick Williams is seen as a lot. I know a lot of teams were not happy that the Bulls snagged him in the draft because they were hoping he would slip down a little bit to them. He was a guy who his numbers don't jump off the page at you, but you got to look at his role on the Florida State team, which was very deep, had a lot of good players. Everybody kind of had to share the wealth there. But if you project him into what he could be as an NBA athlete with his skill set, there are a lot of teams who really were hopeful of getting a chance at him. And they think Chicago got a great player, especially as Porter may be moving on after this season. Williams should be able to slot right in with the other young guys and fit in perfectly.
Well, that should make you feel good, and we'll send you into your weekend with a little bit of optimism there. And we will do transition with Lawrence Holmes coming up next on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, O'Reilly.
For a tax your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.